There's a spiritual dynamic of how we live our lives and how that ties to a spiritual reward of service. God has called us to serve one another. This is an act of service Paul's talking about. He ties it not only do a good job and listen to your supervisor and do what you need to do, but he ties it to the spiritual part of our life because you're working to the Lord and you know ultimately your inheritance comes from him.
From the studios of the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Andy Carlson, a best-selling author and your advocate for the family. Today begins the first part of Dr. Randy's three-part teaching series entitled Intentional Living at Work. Now, to help you be intentional for your work, here's Randy.
Thank you, Kurt, and welcome to the Intentional Living Center today as we're going to start this three-day series, as you mentioned, on being intentional in the workplace, especially in relationships, as we talk about relationships today. I think this is sort of an appropriate topic as we're in this month of December, because you're thinking about reflecting on this last year, maybe in the workplace, you're thinking about how things have gone, maybe you're looking at moving to a new place of service or work coming up in 2018. So how to be intentional in the workplace. One of the five essential areas that we teach here at the center in terms of working relationships. We'll take you to the teaching studio where I recorded this in just a moment and share it with you. But before we do, if you'd like to know more about the Ministry of Intentional Living, find out about a very special opportunity right now to receive a special gift from the ministry called Finishing Strong. All that information is available when you go to the website at theintentionallife.com. You'll see it there. A lot of very helpful, practical resources for you as well. Okay? All right, let's go on over to the teaching studio and begin this series on being intentional in the workplace. What I want to talk about today in this lesson is the topic, how to work yourself out a job. And I have Donna proof my slides, and she said, you want people to work themselves out of a job? And I thought that was a fair question. But you know what? If we come to a ministry or we come to our work simply as a job, I would hope that our goal would be to work ourselves out of seeing what we do as a job and see it as an opportunity to really serve one another. I was looking at some statistics online, and in the New York Times, there was an article that was written giving the results of a survey done by the Gallup organization in 2011-2012, worldwide, over 160 countries. They interviewed employees. People did all sorts of jobs in different places on the planet. And what they found, maybe you've heard the statistic, it's come out in the last 6-7 months, only 13% of employees are engaged at work. 13%. And they classify engagement, meaning that I'm emotionally involved in what I do, that I'm really engaged in what I do, that I'm passionate about what I do. And as I read that number, I thought how sad it is that on the planet, only 13 out of 100 people going to work 8 hours a day really feel engaged with what they do. And when you think about how brief life is, how sad of a statistic that is. Gallup found that 63% of employees are not engaged. What that means is they go to work, they do their job, they may even do a good job, but they're not engaged in it. They're not emotionally involved, they're not really caring, they're not motivated for what they do, but they do it. Maybe out of their own value system or their own character or their own sense of personal survival, they do a good job, but they're not engaged with what they do. And then Gallup found that 24% of employees, almost one out of four employees on the planet, report that they are actively disengaged in their employment, meaning that they're unhappy, unmotivated, dislike what they do, and go home at the end of the day completely probably discouraged, burned out, and don't care, just getting through the day. And as I thought about those statistics, I thought, how do I prepare a lesson this month as we wrap up this year for those who are members of the family, those of you who are supporters and team members, and you stand with us in support of intentional living, as well as for us as a staff. And what I wanted to do, if it's okay, for those who are listening to the CD, and thank you for your support, I want to share with us as a staff. I want to get real personal with us here and have you all listen in, because I think the things I'd like to share this morning I think will be applicable to all of us, not only in a work setting, but maybe we serve in a church, maybe we serve in our community activities, maybe you serve on a board, maybe you serve your family. That the principles that I want to teach this morning, these 10 things that I think help us move from disengagement to engagement in work, will be applicable. But I want to share it as a group of body of believers here, those of us who work together in this ministry. Because I would hope that in a ministry setting, these statistics would be much different. Because our calling is so much higher and our purpose is driven by such greater results and intention to see people's lives changed radically. When you think about these statistics, that 24% are actively disengaged and 63% only getting through the day, 87% of people on the planet are just getting through the day in their work. One-third of your day, one-third of your 24 hours, half of your waking hours. When you think about it, it's a sad commentary that we'd have any number at all that would go through the day not engaged with what they do. And work is an opportunity to provide for our family. It's an outlet for fulfilling our purpose and our skills. It's an opportunity to make a difference. And when you think about it being one-third of our 24 hours, I think it's worth stopping and thinking about one of these five essential areas. And we talk about one of the essential areas is work and the value of work and the importance of work. So what I'd like to do is get a biblical perspective. So let's take a look at what the Bible has to say about work. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, look at what Paul says about the importance of work. He says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward." Couple of things I want to, before we get into these 10 things that are real practical basic things about staying engaged in work and being successful in whatever work we do. If it's here or if God has you in another place, these principles work, not only at Family Life and Communications and Intentional Living Family Life Radio, but will work any place on the planet. But before we get into those, I think it's important to understand what the Bible's telling us here. What is Paul telling us? He says, whatever you do. What Paul is saying to us is, this isn't just for the president. This isn't just for me. You know, you say, well, yeah, obviously the leadership's engaged because you have the responsibility, but my job, I'm here kind of maybe feeling like I'm lost in the works and I got things that I do every day. But you know, on the planet, we got people today who are cleaning restaurants and we got people who are digging ditches and we got people who are teaching our kids in school. We got people who are bank presidents, and we got people doing all sorts of different jobs. And God makes no distinction about that when it comes to work. He doesn't put a higher value on one kind of work over another. I can remember when my very first job was as a busser at a large hotel in a restaurant, and I'd clean the, you know, these tables, these people leave messes, and The kids would dump everything on the ground, and you know, you have to clean up the whole mess and take it in the kitchen and rinse off all the dishes and get everything into the washer and all that kind of thing. And what God is saying is, being a busser in a restaurant or in a hotel or being the president of the United States, Paul says to us, whatever you do, whatever you do.
This is Intentional Living with Dr. Randy Carlson. Dr. Randy presents the next part of his teaching series in just a moment.
Do you want to finish strong?
What were Christ's last words on the cross? It is finished. Wow. See, God is a God of finishing. He's not a God of just starting.
Dr. Randy has some great encouragement and godly counsel for you in his full-length DVD, Finishing Strong. Finishing Strong features in-depth teaching on 10 principles to help you finish everything in life and finish well. Become a member of Intentional Living today, and with your ongoing monthly gift, you'll receive the Finishing Strong DVD and Donna Carlson's beautiful 16x20 watercolor print, featuring the 10 Finishing Strong statements as a reminder. You'll also receive Dr. Randy's monthly coaching, all with our thanks. So go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Or call during West Coast business hours, 1-888-888-1717, and press number 4. Thanks.
If you've got a minute, I'll give you 3 ways to be a contributor and not a complainer.
This is the Intentional Living Minute. Your host is Linda Swindling, our intentional workplace expert.
Some people go to work and spend the day criticizing and whining. Really? It's called work for a reason. Remember the difference between contributors and complainers. First, complainers tend to focus on the past and they avoid performing their work. Contributors look to the future and what can be accomplished. Second, complainers are critical and they keep others from working. Contributors are encouragers and they support their coworkers. Complainers create problems for others, but contributors look for solutions and ways to add value. Be intentional. Choose to be a contributor. For Intentional Living, I'm Linda Swindling.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com. Now, let's get back to Dr. Randy as he continues today's teaching.
I can remember when my very first job was as a busser at a large hotel in a restaurant. And I cleaned the, you know, these tables, these people leave messes and kids would dump everything on the ground. And, you know, you have to clean up the whole mess and take it in the kitchen and rinse off all the dishes and get everything into the washer and all that kind of thing. And what God is saying is, being a busser in a restaurant or in a hotel or being the president of the United States, Paul says to us, whatever you do. So this is for all of us in this ministry. It's for no matter what our titles are, no matter what our job function may be, no matter if what we do we don't enjoy all that much, or really trying to learn to do it, or we really feel like we're in a square, you know, peg in a round hole. But whatever we do, Paul says, he says, work with all of your what? What does he say? Work with all of your heart. And it was interesting in that study on engagement, they said that people who are disengaged don't do what they do with all of their heart. We use the statement, my heart's not in it. You've heard that statement? My heart's not in it. What that means is I'm doing it, but I ain't here. My body may be here. My mind may even be here to do this task, but I didn't bring everything to this task. You ever had things that your heart's not in? Man, I'll tell you, there's a lot of projects I get into my heart's not in. And when my heart's not in it, it's just get it done, get it beyond it, and move on with life. But Paul says to us, whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart. And then it's interesting, he said, as working for the Lord, not for men. You know what? I believe this. When you show up here at this ministry, you don't work for me. You work for God. Now, we have roles and responsibility within this. All of us have accountability. I just came out of a board meeting where I'm accountable to the board. Leadership's accountable to me. Managers accountable. Staff, we have different responsibilities. We all have different roles. But Paul reminds us, if we can get our minds straight on this, here's where engagement begins. What we do isn't just for the boss, isn't just for me, isn't just for your department. The Bible says we're doing it unto the Lord. That changes our mind. When we're doing a task and we say, you know, I really don't want to do this, I really don't like doing this, but I'm working as unto the Lord. What's interesting here is what Paul says next. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. There's a spiritual dynamic of how we live our lives and how that ties to a spiritual reward of service. God has called us to serve one another. This is an act of service, Paul's talking about. And he ties it not only do a good job and, you know, listen to your supervisor and do what you need to do, but he ties it to the spiritual part of our life because you're working to the Lord and you know ultimately your inheritance comes from him. So when I have a bad board meeting, which I don't have often, but if I come away from a board meeting, I think, these guys don't get it. They don't understand what I'm facing. It's easy to look at the board and say, well, if they'd get on board, then get on board, you get the joke. If they'd get on board, everything would be okay, see? Then I realize my work is unto the Lord. This can be true as you work with your coworkers, as you work with your supervisors, as you work in your department, to see that what we do every day, ultimately, when we stand before God someday, your supervisor's not going to be there. I'm not going to be there. Our policy manual's not going to be there. Those staff meetings aren't going to be there. It's going to be us standing before the Lord to give an account of how we lived our lives. I'm not talking about salvation here. We're not saying you work harder so you can get into heaven. But we're saying that ultimately, we work as unto the Lord. And in the process of doing this, our inheritance is from him. Does that make sense? I think it's important to set that groundwork, because what I want to share now, I'm going to transition and talk about just some real basic things that I've observed over 35 years of leadership, working with people, being an employee, being a boss, things that I've read and studied about human behavior and how to be successful in work. And I promise that these 10 things I'm going to share with you make a difference. It separates people who are successful from unsuccessful in their careers and in work. And so, are you ready to go? Let's begin. Number one, how to work yourself out of a job is do just a little bit more. Just, you know, don't get off at the first exit. Go the extra mile. Most people in the workplace, based on the statistics we've seen, get to the very first exit and get off. Do just enough to get done and then get off. I can be guilty of that. We all can be guilty of it. It's human nature. And I think there's two things. Intentional focus on what we do, why we do it. And those of us who struggle in being very focused on what we do, it's harder. But secondly, is doing just a little bit more. I was thinking about this in terms, what would be different in our lives if we did just a little more about caring for other people? Just a little bit more caring. A little bit more love. What if we gave just a little bit more time to a task or to a problem? What if we gave just a little more tenderness? What if we saved just a little bit more than we do now? What if we went out of our way and thought about something just a little bit longer before we acted on it? What if we worked just a little bit harder? What separates success from lack of success is often the person who goes just the little bit extra, does the little bit more.
That's very true. Back here live in our Intentional Living studio. And a reminder that the Intentionals for Success at Work that I'm teaching these 3 days is listed for you in our Intentional section on our website at theintentionallife.com under Inspiration tab. Click on down to the Intentionals, and you'll have them there for you as we teach through how to be intentional in the workplace. Here it is, already beginning December. I want to say thanks to all of you who've been so faithful in your prayers and so many friends that we have met around the country this year in our conferences and every day on the radio. Thank you for being a part of the ministry. Thank you for your prayers for us, standing with us. I know that there's many needs in the world, and the fact that you have chosen to support this ministry in a practical way by your financial support, I take as a sacred trust, and I thank you for it. And here at the end of the year, let me just put it in perspective, about 20% of all of the needed support for the year is budgeted here in December. So I just challenge you to pray about a special gift, and we'd appreciate it. And I want to send you a beautiful watercolor print called Finishing Strong, done by my wife, Donna, with 10 principles that I teach on Finishing Strong. It's our gift to you. All you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com and click on Donate. Thank you. Coming up, I've got a caller waiting who wants to talk about how to get unstuck in the workplace. So don't go away.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living. And we'll be right back.
As you've listened to Dr. Randy Carlson on Intentional Living, you've made new commitments. You're going to live life differently and impact the people around you for Christ. One of the ways you can reach even more than your friends and family is by helping Dr. Carlson keep this broadcast on the air for the thousands who listen daily. Become a member of Intentional Living by supporting the program with your ongoing monthly gift. We'll encourage you even further with a teaching on CD from Dr. Carlson each month. Become a member today. Call 888-888-1717 or go to theintentionallife.com.
Hi, Dr. Randy Carlson. My name is Juan, and I've been hearing your program, and it's been really helping me. I am going through a separation, possible divorce. I've been taking the challenges that you've been saying on the radio, and before I even turn on the TV to watch the weather or sports, I get on my knees and pray and fall asleep praying. These last couple of weeks, the Lord has been opening doors for a new job, and I believe that the Lord's showing me things that he's with me. He says that he will show you things, big things and impossible, for those that trust in him. And I believe that the Lord's telling me that he's going to work through this marriage. I just ask you to keep my wife, Veronica, in prayer. And I want to support your ministry. And I did it. And I really bless God for your ministry. And I pray that God uses you to help others. God bless you, and we'll be supporting you. Bye-bye.
My name is Rhonda. I don't think you should have to check your faith at the door. I think you should be able to witness at work or anywhere else that you are. But at the same time, by allowing a Christian to witness anywhere they want to, you have to be ready for somebody of a different faith, of a different religion, to share their faith and their opinion with you, which could be good in the long run. You get to share Jesus with somebody who obviously doesn't know Jesus. But I can understand why an employer may say you can't do it, just to avoid the religious confrontation that could occur. That's my comment. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you for sharing that. Being bold in your faith, and it's more complicated, landmines everywhere in the workplace today, especially in terms of sharing values and religious beliefs. But, you know, the greatest testimony is your life. Let your life shine. Let your life be an example to other people that they'll be drawn to Christ, obviously, flowing through you. That's the key. All right. Sylvia's on the line, wants to get unstuck in the workplace. Hi, Sylvia.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. Doing great. What's your question today?
Well, my question is how to get unstuck, because I've been with this company for 4 years, and there's times that it's fantastic, and then there's times where it's like, what is going on? I feel stuck. Like I can't move forward from the next step in the system.
Uh-huh. And so you're kind of career oriented. You're looking to move on, take on greater challenges, take on more responsibility, have greater opportunities to be successful, if I hear you right.
Yes.
Okay. Which, by the way, I'm looking at this list of top reasons people hate their job, and that's number three. They're not being challenged is number three. Number six is there's no room for advancement. And so you're hitting on some of the two of at least the issues that are faced. Have you gone to your supervisor or up the chain and find out what career path is available for you in the business?
Well, the business that I'm in, it's actually our own business. We're independent associates.
Uh-huh.
And there's a system that we follow. And like I said, I followed the system, and somehow, like I said, I'll get the appointment. I'll talk to the person that I need to talk to in order to offer this employee benefit, and then nothing happens. I won't hear back from them. It's just weird. And I'm like, wow, they were just so enthusiastic. They said, yes, I want to offer it. But then when I follow up for the date, nothing happens.
You know, Sylvia, I'll tell you what I would do. I don't know what your product is. Doesn't much matter. But I think I would go and try to talk to some others who are doing exactly what you're doing, and find out what the statistics look like. Because in sales, as you know, every sales thing has an average. If it's 1 out of 10, we'll buy. It's kind of that way all across the board. So are your statistics averaging what others are doing, or are you off on your response rate?
I'm averaging what others are doing. That's
right.
Why I don't understand why I'm not moving ahead.
Well, when you say moving ahead, what does that mean? You want to sell more, or you want to get another job in the business?
No, I don't want to get another job. I'm very happy with the company that I am with. I'm not moving ahead in the form of, like I said, when I follow the system, I do what needs to be done, and I'll talk to the decision maker. But from there, it just nothing happens.
Yeah, but what I was asking though, Sylvia, is you're saying like what? 1 out of 10 you get to, or what's your percentage?
Well, 2 out of 10 is what I get.
Okay, 2 out of 10, and everybody in the system basically is 2 out of 10.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Well, I think maybe it's a reality. I mean, you have to consider the fact that if everybody's following the system, and the system is generating 2 out of 10, which some people say you're getting 2 out of 10, you know, that's not all that bad. You got to ask yourself, either the system, or the product, or should I be in a place where I can be more successful for the amount of work that I'm putting into it? May be that you're as successful as this particular system is going to allow you to be. I don't know. Is that possible?
Maybe.
Yeah. It could be a possibility. I've thought about that as well, if this is where I am supposed to be, or should I be somewhere else?
Well, it gets back to goals. You know, I believe that God plants us in places, and wherever we're planted, we're to serve. The Bible's clear on that. We serve as unto the Lord. If you're in sales or if you're in a ministry, you know, ministry, I don't think it's just for, quote, ministry, church, and so on. It's we have a ministry wherever we are. And I think it's a question, are you in your area of giftedness? Are you in a place where you can really honor God and serve Him, and you feel that you have opportunity to grow and advance? If you don't, then maybe it's time to look at some career counseling, get some pray about some other opportunities that would honor your current employer and be faithful to them while you're looking for something else. Something to consider, at least. You know, getting stuck sometimes, the only way you get unstuck is God's using that to say, hey, maybe I need to be somewhere else. If you look back to the time of Christ, when he walked on this planet, we're going back about 735,000 days ago. Jesus walked on the planet. If we go back to July 4th, 1776, a significant day when the Declaration of Independence was signed, do you realize that that was 86,084 days ago from today? So I put in my birthday. I was born 21,994 days ago. And you know what scared me? I realized as I compared 86,000 days back to the Declaration of Independence and my 21,000 days, I go back nearly 25% of the whole history of the United States. Scary thought. My mind runs in strange ways. Hey, back here live in the studio here. And you know, we get the opportunity every day to be focused on living our lives in a way that we want to finish strong. And I just want to say thanks to all of you for your ongoing support. Thanks for being a part of the ministry. I appreciate it. I really do. And here we are, the fifth of the month of December, and with about 20% of the support needed by the end of the month, I just want to challenge you, if you're a current member, you're standing with us each month, I just want to challenge you to pray about a 13th month this month. If you could just send an extra gift, man, you know, if everybody did that, we would be taken care of in terms of the budget. We'd be all set moving into this new year. But we're just trusting God to move through each of you to share a gift with the ministry to help us. Thank you in advance. And by the way, we got a special gift we want to send to you. It's a beautiful watercolor print called Finishing Strong, painted by my wife, Donna. And then the 10 principles that I teach on this topic on how to be intentional, 10 ways to finish strong in life. It's our gift to you, a visual reminder you can see every day during 2018. All you have to do is get it framed and put it up. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. And thanks to those of you who make that a monthly support as well. Thank you. All right, we'll be back tomorrow with more on intentional workplace relationships. We'll see you then.